Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, we have had quite a week here in the state of Michigan. Nobody will believe what is happening here. The governor, Governor Whitmer, a group, a gang. That's a gang. It ain't no militia. A gang was getting ready to kidnap her and kill her, put her on trial and kill her and charge her with treason. Only in America could you do this. Only in America. And listen, you people that live in Michigan, Michigan is one of the most racist states in the country. It might be even more racist than Alabama, Louisiana, Mississippi, Arkansas, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina. Believe me, it is racist. And the sad news, not one single Republican member spoke out about this. Telling this, it's a game. There ain't no militia. These are terrorists. That's who they are. Gang members. They're in a gang. And that's what they are. And they should be treated just like that. They don't scare me. And they don't intimidate me. They're just a group of people, a group of cowards, let's put it this way, who walk around with guns and think that they are tough. You see, the governor Whitmer, she's not the greatest person in the world. I have to confess to that. She don't know what side she want to be on. But she have every right to be able to walk the streets and do what she's supposed to do. What she was doing was perfectly right. You should wear a mask. We should have been locked down. We should have been to protect her. You don't have a president who know how. He's a coward. He's a straight up coward. That's what he is. And it's unfortunate. I say this. Anybody in this world who votes for him is a racist. Straight up racist. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. Anybody. I mean, you just can't do it if you are a human being, especially if you're a Christian and you have moral values. You cannot do it. You cannot go out and vote for this man and sleep good at night. I'm going to tell you this. If you acting like you're a Christian, you go out and vote for this man, knowing that he has no morals, he got blood on his hand for over 215,000 people to kill. That's his doing. He should be charged with murder for that. Because he didn't know what to do. He didn't have a clue. He's so used to doing what he want to do, you see, regardless. And he don't care about you. He don't care about me. He don't even care about his other Republicans. He don't care nothing about them. All he care about is what Donald Trump wants. That's what he care about. He's a loser. He's a born loser. You see, pitiful, unfortunate, and didn't say now one thing about this gang trying to kidnap the governor. Didn't say nothing. Not a thing. It's amazing when you sit down and think about it. Not one thing. Wow. I don't even know what to say. Somewhere it's got to stop. But I'm telling people now, arm yourself and make sure you have enough bullets. Arm yourself because you got a lot of crazy out of here. And they're being protected by law enforcement, most of them. They're being protected by
law enforcement, most of them. That's correct. They're being protected by law enforcement. So those of you out there think that this is a joke, that this thing gonna blow over, is not. This stuff is real. When I say real, I mean exactly that. This is real. We are going to have to take a stand and say no more. Say no more. And remember, when we work together, we can win. Here in Michigan, there's a lot of these groups. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these groups here in this country, here in this state. But the point is, we have to make sure we're doing what we're supposed to do. They went to the Capitol, armed to a T, 200 of them, and paraded around the Capitol with their guns. And they thought that they was doing something. Bunch of cowards. Bunch of cowards. That's all it is. They're cowards. And they know it. But you have to step up. All you target individuals, don't sit back and say it's all right. You see, you have to take a stand for something. You have to stand up for something. You have to do this. You are the one who have to do this. So if you don't want to do nothing, don't complain about it. Don't complain what the governor is doing to you or what government is doing to you. Don't complain. You have no right to complain if you don't say that there was something wrong with this. So stop complaining if you don't have the guts to stand up and there's something wrong with this gang. They're not no militia. They're a gang. That's a gang. It's a gang. And it's just one of these 13. They're all over the country, too, all over Michigan. Absolute. Look at the Oakland A's manager giving the Nazi salute on TV. Not once, twice, giving the Nazi salute on TV. Giving the Nazi salute on TV. They didn't fire him. They didn't discipline him. They didn't do nothing. See, stuff like this, they feel is all right, you know. Oh, yeah. There's going to be some tough times coming up because a lot of people are not man and woman enough to stand up and say something is wrong when it's wrong. I hear people talking about, abortion's wrong. I don't condone abortion myself. But you also have to stand up and say cop killing all these people is wrong. They won't say that, but they're willing to say that abortion is wrong, but killing black folks by police is not wrong. This is how they feel. But we also have some very disturbing news here in Benton Harbor. We had a pastor to actually jump on a woman and beat her down to the ground. That's right, a pastor at one of the finest churches here. But he was a renegade when he came here. The original pastor died, and this guy took over the church and stole over $200,000 of the church money. They didn't want to send him to jail because other people was involved. But now all of a sudden it's all right. The church is broke now. No money. The church is broke. No money. All because of this. And this is how law enforcement works. By him being a pastor and the minister here is supporting him, he don't go to jail for stealing the money. He don't go to jail for beating this woman down, broke her hand, fractured her shoulder, beat her to a pulp and had the nerve to brag about it. Stuff that goes on in these communities with the help of law enforcement. And then people don't understand why most black people do not like law enforcement. They only deal with people. They only attack people who are not on their side. Yes, we're living in this time. We're living in rough times. But in order to make things better, we have to come together. My target individuals, you have to step out of that comfort zone. I know it's difficult, but you got to step out of it. Because these people are for real. This is no joke. They are here. You see, and I'm one of them guys, I don't have no respect for law enforcement, none. No respect for them. I don't have no respect for your president. I don't have no respect for him. He's all about him. He don't care how many people die. 10 million people can die. He care less. He care less. Claim he's a billionaire. He might be a billionaire when he leave the White House because he done stole all the money. $450 million in debt only in America. Only in America. And let me say this. Your government is targeting individuals and controlling their mind and body. Your government is actually doing this. Well, I know a lot of you are not going to believe it, which I can understand that. Don't. You don't have to believe it. But I am telling you this is happening. And the reason why they can't get help, they go to your neighbor, tell your neighbor he's nuts on both sides. If you live in an apartment building, they go in the whole building telling people that there's something wrong with you, not them. It's all right for them to target you. It's not all right. You should not be trying to control someone's mind. Mind control. You should not do that. But if you can do it and get away with it, I know you will. And those of you who don't believe it's happening, it's happening. It's them today and maybe you tomorrow. Everybody is expendable. Everybody. This is how they think. Every single person in this country is expendable. Everybody. And they will destroy you if you allow it. This is how they work. They will destroy you if you allow them. Yeah, they'll come after you. They'll think of fake charges to put on you. They plant drugs on you. And most likely you have an all-white jury. And believe me, if you black going before an all-white jury, you will be found guilty. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. Like the prosecutor told me, we don't need evidence. What are we going to do with evidence? You can still send Reverend Pinckney to prison. And sure enough, they did. No ifs, ands, about them. Thank God that I've been fortunate to have them overturned every time they tried it. God is able because I depend on the Lord, not man. But on that note, let me bring in my first friend, my first guy, Big Dave. Let's see where we can get Big Dave in here. Dave, are you there? Talk to me.
Yes, I am. How you doing tonight?
I'm just rocking and rolling and rolling and rocking, trying to make it happen. That's all I can do, Dave. It's a tough world we're living in, but you know, we got to get out here and do it. You know, because like I say, it's me today and you tomorrow, whether we like it or not. So I know I. But I want to hear your story. Tell us about you. Tell us how all this started with you, because most people they don't really get it. But I want to make sure that they're able to understand exactly what I'm talking about when I'm talking about a target individual, someone who's being targeted by the government. So I want you to start at the beginning how we talked the other night. Let's start there.
Okay. All right. What I'm about to say, I'm not really proud of the life that I lived prior to becoming a man of God. Now I am a ordained elder, associate pastor of the church here in Buffalo, and things have really, changed for me. But in the beginning, I was into criminal activity. I can't really pinpoint exactly how it happened. I mean, I could point the finger at a whole lot of things, but the bottom line is that it would end up with me pointing the finger at myself. But I got caught up in what they call, the FBI called it, an art treasure theft, okay? And it was priceless paintings from the 15th and 16th century. I happened to be in Utica, New York at the time, and I was picked up there, and they took me to the holding center where I remained from April 83 till around the late September. And when this happened, that was it. They had me. And I was in my cell at lockdown in the evening. They closed all the cells, and I was in my cell, and as I was there, all of a sudden, I felt like I was hit with a lightning bolt, okay, of electricity. And that was it. When I woke up in the morning, you have to figure many hours had passed, and I wake up in the morning, my head is bleeding, my eyes are blurred, I have bruises all around my kidneys, I'm urinating copious amounts of blood from my urethra, and I come out of my cell, and there was a couple of individuals, that I really didn't know, but, you kind of have associates in jail. And he said, "What happened?" And I said, I'm not really sure, but my mind wandered back to when I was in IBM, okay, for whatever reason, because my brother-in-law was a researcher, and he was an engineer, and he had saved IBM countless millions of dollars with his research. And he always talked about, the invisible things, we'll say, okay, meaning that I asked him one time about this particular part of the factory, because I didn't see anything on the electron microscopes. I didn't see anything, okay? But he said to tell me to pull a hair out of my head, and I pulled a hair out of my head. He says, "Hold it up to the light." And I did, and he says, "Well, what they're doing in there," he says, they're making resistors that are 800 to 1,000 times thinner than that human hair. Okay. And we had conversations, about this and that and the other thing. Well, that was the first thing that came to my mind when I came out of my cell that morning, was what my brother-in-law and I talked about years before. Okay, this is 1983 we're talking right now, okay? And shortly after I had talked to the inmate, this lady, lieutenant, came to me, and she says, no matter who you write or no matter who you talk to, she says, "You're never going to be able to do anything about this." At that point, I realized that this whole thing is kind of like a setup, okay, whatever, and I really couldn't get my mind wrapped around it. And the next thing I know, four officers came and took me to the officers' break room, okay? And when I walked through the door, the sergeant, who was an Italian guy, I know his name, but I won't say it on the radio, he grabbed me around the throat, threw me on the table. The other three officers grabbed my, my legs and my arm, and proceeded to work me over. Okay.
Oh, well, anyway, beat you down.
Yeah, really beat me down. And the first thing out of the sergeant's mouth was, keep your effing mouth shut. Okay? He didn't want me talking about this. Obviously, I had said something that, you know, that they didn't want the other inmates to know about. Okay? I mean, because, and I had, I just related back to IBM back in the 70s when I worked there. I mean, making something that you cannot see other than looking through a microscope, okay? And so they beat me down, and from there they took me to a, it's like a, kind of like a, you know, where you go, you're sick, okay? I don't know exactly. It wasn't, it's kind of like an infirmary, I guess, but it was only just a room, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they kept me there for quite some time until, you know, my bruises went away and whatever. You know, and they took me from there. They took me to Marcy, which is a mental institution. Okay, and I got to Marcy, and I finally got to see the doctor. And the doctor says, "Why are you here?" And I said, "Well, I didn't come on my own. Okay, I was brought here." And he says, "Well, what do you think the problem is?" And I said, "I couldn't tell you. There's nothing wrong that I know of." And he said, "Well, I don't see anything wrong either. I'm going to send you back to the facility." Okay. And it went like that. And through the course of the rest of the time that I'm there at this particular facility, okay, my throat is getting messed up here. This is what they do. I want you to realize when you're talking about a subject here, your phone sometimes goes dead. You have headaches. And like a migraine, and your throat gets raspy to the point where you have like laryngitis. So you just have to bear with me, okay? But the bottom line was that I went through, you know, the introductory things with the blurred vision. I still have blurred vision. And when I woke up, I didn't mention the tinnitus, which I still have, artificial tinnitus. It's kind of ironic that that the technologies that they have, see, this is something that should have never happened. I know I'm jumping ahead just a little bit. I'm jumping up to 1994 for a minute, when Janet Reno and then Deputy Secretary of Defense John Deutsch, they got together in a memorandum of understanding. It was called the Operations Other Than War and Law Enforcement. It was at this point where they decided to share advanced military technology like psychotronics and, in other words, electromagnetic DEWs, directed energy weapons, laser, harmonics, acoustics, microwave, all these technologies and the hardware, and not only the hardware but the software to drive the hardware, okay, which enables them to be able to do what they want. There's no, you know, it was like carte blanche on human beings, okay? The way it went down on CBS when they started talking about information warfare in 1996, it was an episode in Shoot Not to Kill on 60 Minutes, okay? And they talked about these advanced military weapons like they're less than lethal or non-lethal. People have to get the idea here, okay, out of their head about less than lethal and non-lethal. See, common sense tells you when they say a directed energy weapon, okay, we're talking a weapon, okay, and weapons will kill you. It's just like they're coming at you with a knife or a gun or whatever. It's lethal. And we have to start realizing how dangerous these weapons are. The United Nations Institute for Disarmament and Research in 2002, they categorized these same weapons, okay, that are in our sheriff departments and our local law enforcement and the state, okay, as weapons of mass destruction because of the fact that psychotronics, okay, that can get into the head, okay? Like you were talking a little while ago about control. They can control you. They can only control you if you don't know how the technology works. If you don't, if you just put it to the side, side, if you just put it to the side and say, they can control the mind, they can't control anything, okay? The bottom line is they can only control anything, a person, is if they know how the technology works. If you know how it works, you can combat it. Yes, it's brutal, okay? It's a brutal beating down. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out. It's been 37 years and 6 months with me. Since 1983 to 2020 is 37 years, and we got May, June, July, August, September, and now October, okay? 6 months. And it's nonstop. And I know who the perpetrators are. I have come at them. When I got to where I, my first facility, I got 7.5 to 15 years, excuse me. But I did 8.5 years on this art treasure theft, okay? And I did 6.5 in the street. And quite frankly, the FBI set me up in a sting operation. But that's another story I'm going to put in my book when my book is before my book is finished. I'm going to put that in there. But right now, we're talking technology. People, we have to go back to the basics, okay? I'm trying to jump around here, but I want people to understand. They said, I had a friend of mine. He said, somewhere in the future you'll have weapons like that, that can, manipulate an individual. This is what they can do. They can manipulate you, not control you, okay? But once you understand, what's behind the technologies, you can combat a lot of the things they throw at you, okay? And, what did I say just prior to that? Do you remember?
No, I don't.
Okay, well, we'll just go into something else. The bottom line is that we have to go back to the basics. I think that's where I was talking about. In other words, the basics. If they say, they fail to realize that, we'll say, just take the acoustics as a part of the technology. And with acoustics, they can monitor your heart, they can monitor your blood pressure, they can monitor your bodily functions. Now, people find that hard to believe, but yet they have no problem understanding an astronaut 225,000 miles in outer space and his bodily functions being monitored from Earth. Okay, we only have from the East Coast to the West Coast, we got 3,000 miles roughly. Okay, so you really, in your mind, you don't really think that they can take control of an individual or manipulate an individual. Well, they think they can, because according to the Department of Defense Directive 5240-1-R, Procedure 13, Chapter 13, you will see where they're telling you that no one, and I do mean no one, no man, woman, child, no one is exempt from them targeting you or victimizing you with their technology. That's how bold these people are. And we, like you said in the beginning, okay, we have to come together. When I came to Michigan to see you, more specifically, I wanted to see Danny Glover. I wanted to see Reverend Al Sampson, because he was one of three ministers that was ordained by Martin Luther King Jr. Okay, he was marvelous. But people, what you put together, Pastor, okay, was great. But the bottom line is they didn't get it. They didn't get it. We're talking black autonomy. This is really what it's all about. We have to look out for one another, but yet it's not happening. Okay, these weapon systems, we far outweigh the minority. And it's, to me, the first place you go to is law enforcement. You don't go to the Senate. You don't go to, to the Congress. You don't go to these people because you're going to be playing their game, okay, because they're not going to say anything about it. I went that route for a minute. I had individuals like Dr. Henry Nichols. He's a physicist in Canada, and he drafted a letter to John Kerry for me, okay, stating exactly what the deal was, explaining things that he knew because – see, John Kerry headed up subcommittees on terrorism, and he knew about the weapons that we were using on terrorists, okay, like in Abu Ghraib. Barack Obama, he supposedly stopped the torture at Abu Ghraib, okay? But yet we have the same technology in our sheriff departments, in our state police, in our local police. We have the same. And let me tell you something. We are in serious trouble, especially black people, okay, and people of color, okay. I'm going to just say mm-hmm. that straight out. And I'm not saying that all lives don't matter, but I'm telling you there is an all-out assault on black America. Okay.
Absolutely.
I don't care if you believe it or you don't believe this. I'm not here to make you believe anything. I just want you to remember what I'm saying. In 2006, I went to Washington, D.C. with Ted Gunderson. I was supposed to go with Gloria Naylor, but she was being hammered with technology. I talked to Gloria Naylor. She was the woman at Brewster's Place, okay? She was the one that got the miniseries for Women at Brewster's Place from Oprah Winfrey. Okay, and I used to talk to her for a long time, right up until she passed away. She kept saying they were hitting her in her heart, okay? They're continually hitting me, okay? And she died of congested heart failure, okay, in 2016. But this is just the tip of the iceberg. This is just the tip of the iceberg. These crimes, you don't start at the federal government level. You start at your level. You start at the local level. You let them know what they're working with. Operations other than war and law enforcement, you can find a copy. This was the straw that broke the camel's back when Janet Reno and then Deputy Secretary of Defense John Deutsch agreed to give these weapons out like carte blanche, no oversight, no accountability, okay? This is what they're working with. They're still working with it, okay? But I have an ironclad case. When I finally got to where I was going, one of the first institutions the Fed sent me to was the USPTH, was the United States Penitentiary in Terre Haute, Indiana. That's where McVeigh was executed. And
Right.
When I got there, you see, first thing I went to was a law library. You know, I'm not a lawyer, but I can read, okay? I have, you know, not just because I got 3 years of college and whatever, but the bottom line is that I can read. Anybody that can read, seeing they, you know, they even try to keep you from that in black America, or they used to, okay? Now they can't really get to that point in your life. But if you really want to get something done, you get an education. I'm talking about black America right now, okay? I got there, and I went to the law library, and I found out that they had no books, for real. I mean, it was like walking into the Middle Ages, okay? So I tried to get a transfer, and I worked on a transfer, and I worked on a transfer, and finally I got out of there, and they sent me to the correctional facility at Raybrook, New York. That was the site of the 1980 Olympics. That's the one about the hockey and all this, you know, when Russia played the United States and, you know, in hockey. That's the place that they did it in. They turned it into a prison. When I got there, I started going into a really nice law library, and I put together a case, and I was right under the gun. In other words, I was right at the statute of limitations, but the judge, his name was McGurn, the judge allowed my case into court, and I got a docket number, okay? And as soon as I got this docket number, okay, now keep in mind I'd be in hand with 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, week in, week out, with the technology at this facility in Utica, okay, the county facility in Utica. And the bottom line was that, you know, I'm experiencing things, sleep deprivation and all manner of evil. But I'm able to contact some people along with getting this docket number for my lawsuit. But the next step, I had to get my witnesses, okay? I had witnesses where I was taken into the officer's break room. They saw me when I went in, and they saw me when I came out, okay? That's a fact. And this is why I needed these witnesses, okay? Now, as soon as this is going on, as soon as this, right from here, I'm really being hammered with technology. I'm just really just trying to survive day by day because the hammer is coming down, you know, with the sleep deprivation. If you don't get to sleep, I think you know the damage that it can do, okay? Plus, you're being hit in now your vital organs, your testicles, genital area. You're being hit in the chest from the head all the way down to your toes. They're burning your legs. They're burning your flesh. I have pictures where they have burned my flesh, okay? to the point where you can literally peel the skin off your body. Okay, that's how it's just like you were in a fire. Okay, and all these things are going on, but I'm trying to get my witnesses, and just as I'm trying to get my witnesses, okay, I get my case manager at FCI Raybrook, the federal institution at Raybrook, New York. He comes to me and he says, "We're taking your writing privileges other than your children." And I said, "Why?" And he says, "Well, we got two phone calls from the sheriff in Utica area, okay? And he says that you're sending threatening letters not only to his office, but you send threatening letters into the community, okay? So now my writing privileges stop. I can't write to the witnesses for my case, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
There's all this going on right now. And so the only out I had right at the moment was, he said, "Well, if you want," he says, "you can fight this," but he said, "you know, it's pretty clear cut." And I said, "I'm going to fight it." So I filed for a BP-9, which is it's BP-9 is where you have administrative remedy, okay? And I'm going to force the sheriff, okay? I'm going to force him to produce the letters that he said were threatening, okay? You produce them, all right? And he didn't do that because there were no letters, okay? But by that time, I had basically lost my lawsuit. I couldn't get anything going with the courts, with my witnesses or anything. It was a mess. I am in dire straits, with pain and all the things that they're throwing at me to keep my mouth shut. But I still got my case, okay? I still got my case. I mean, I have so much evidence, okay? At some point, this, what's going on with these directed energy weapons, okay, is going to be the same thing that went on for 30-plus years with the Department of Energy experiments, where our elderly people, okay, were being abused. They were being injected, okay, with radium, uranium, all manner of radiation. They're injecting them at 98 times the normal dosage. These people were elderly. They just wanted to complete their retirement, okay? They were in hospitals and nursing homes. They're telling their kids something is wrong. Their kids are saying, "Well, they're just old, and they're just elderly people, and they just blew it off." But finally, with their backs against the wall, I'm talking to congressmen like Markey, okay? Markey said it shocked his senses that people could be tortured like this right under our noses. But Markey, okay, he knew what was going on, along with the congressmen, along with senators, because they were on these subcommittees, okay? They knew this was going on, but they kept their mouth shut because it's very, very lucrative. If you read, there's three cases I want you to look into, okay? There's a proposed bill by Dennis Kucinich.
Okay, I know about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, this proposed bill, Space Preservation Act 2001, okay, you don't just read this, okay, you digest it, okay, you understand it, how the technology, psychotronics is omnidirectional, meaning that they can bounce off of you. Once they lock into your cortex, okay, once they lock into your resonance, we are electrical beings, and once they lock into your particular resonance, they have you. It's just like Ted Gunderson told me as we went to Washington together, and he told me it's not rocket science, David. He says what you do is going to your car, and you want your favorite radio station. So what do? You tune. Finally, you establish resonance on your particular favorite radio station. What do? You push the button. So the next time you get in your car, you can push that button and you can have your favorite radio station. Okay, well, this is basically what they do to you. This is what the 1,000 points of light was about with George Herbert Walker Bush when he came out there and said, about the 1,000 points of light. And Dukakis was saying, "I don't understand what you're talking about. We need 1,000 points of light." It's like having, being able to manipulate hundreds of thousands of U.S. citizens at will. You understand? Any, whatever they, If you don't know how the technology works, they will manipulate you. They will cause you to commit suicide. You know, they will come at you. I mean, I haven't got enough fingers and toes of people that I have talked to that have committed suicide. Okay, they commit suicide. And you just can't take it. But see, we are Christians. You know, we get our. So I'm not going to downplay that I love God. Okay? I'm not going to downplay that. We, as Christians, okay, we have more power than we can ever imagine. Okay? We have a real God. Okay? We have a real God who wants real people. Now, you were talking about people standing up. Okay? You know, Martin Luther King Jr. said it's not the strident clamor of the bad people. It's the appalling silence of the good people. You know, when you talk to people like Reverend Al Sampson, okay, marvel. He commands respect. He commands power. I was so happy that you got him there at this Banco. I was so happy because, you know, the man is real, and he serves a real God, and God wants real people. Just like you and me, we got, you know, we're real. Yeah, we've had our problems. We've had our issues. But in this state, no one is exempt. 5240-1-R tells us that, and Procedure 13 tells us that, you know, no one is exempt. They're going to do what they want to do. So as far as law enforcement, we already know law enforcement, they're just doing what they want to do. Okay?
They have
technology. They have resonance weapons. They have psychotronics, they have laser, they have acoustics, they have all these things, okay, at their disposal. And they can make lucrative amounts of money, cash upon cash upon cash. They weren't concerned about solving rapes, murders, and child abductions, like, you know, less than lethal or non-lethal weapons or whatever. These weapons are lethal. Or President Clinton would not have said they're slow kill weapons, directed energy weapons, slow kill. They can kill you immediately, like they did to Dr. Fred Bell, or they can kill you over years and years and years. This is what research without consent is, okay? Testing strength and consistency of control over time. This is what Dr. Henry Nichols, the physicist out of Canada, he wrote a letter to Kerry using that term. Testing strength and consistency of control over time. See, if we don't know how the stuff works, okay, because they're not giving it out. And keep in mind, these sheriffs or whomever, they, you know, there is no statute of limitations on these weapons. No statute of limitations.
Absolutely.
They don't fall under the umbrella, okay, of the National Security Act of 1947. Right. Now, John St. Clair Acquiescence was
this. Let me ask you this, Dave. You only got a couple of more minutes. I want you to take this time out and tell people what they can do in order to help you or help the TI family, the TI world. Tell us what we can do, because I got to bring in my next guest, but we'll get you back on, because I know your story is too interesting and people need to know this stuff, you know. But tell us how we can help you.
I think that as individuals, we just come together. Okay, especially Black America. Why is this 73% percentile is primarily Black America? Okay, why is it that we are singled out? Okay, with the COVID and whatever. Okay, because they hate us. They hate us. So what we have to do, we have to go to the closest people, which is our local, our county, and our state officials. We have to let them know. We have to call the Sheriff's Association. We have to call the local legislators, the local police. We have to let them know what they're working with. Okay, these are weapons. These are directed energy weapons, and there's no statute of limitations on it. Okay, in other words, you can come at them just like murder. Okay, you can come at them years now if you have a case. And this is what it's all about, standing up. Just like Martin Luther King Jr. said, it's not the strident clamor of the bad people, it's the appalling silence of the good people. And you find different programs like Dr. Silva, Dr. Jose Silva. He, when you're going through this mental anguish 24 hours a day, all day long, for years and years and years, Dr. Jose Silva, he did mind research, and he tells you how to alleviate some of these stresses. Not all. You're not going to alleviate all of them. They're going to come at you 24 hours a day. Three shifts, 7 a.m. in the morning to 3 p.m. in the afternoon, 3 p.m. to 11 p.m. in the evening, 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. in the morning. It's continual, day after day after day. Make no mistake about it. And they said no one is exempt. That's
wow,
what you
and
do.
I agree with you. I agree with you 100%, and this is my message to everybody. You know, right now you may not be targeted, but it could happen at any minute because this is how they operate. Nobody is exempt from this, and we need to know that. Dave, I want to thank you so much. I mean, that was really powerful, and what you were saying, I hope people took it in. And I should get a lot of emails in reference to you today. Doing this over this week, but I'm going to call you during the week and let you know some of the comments that I received. So let's talk soon. Can we do that?
Absolutely. And, you know,
all
I
right,
look forward
Dave.
To, you know, hearing from you. And, you know, get out there, whoever believes in prayer. I know I do. We got to pray about this. We have definitely displeased our Lord, okay? And he's
Amen.
Very, very displeased. America right now, okay? It's not about the Republicans. It's not about the Democrats. It's about God.
No, absolutely. Amen. God put God first. Amen. Thank you so much, Dave. That was tremendous. Dave got a chance to tell us, you know, exactly what is going on. Now I got to bring in my old friend from long time ago, Rozzy Roz. She is somewhere on this land. Rozzy Roz. I don't see Rozzy Roz, so I got to bring in the one and only, Marcina Cole. Marcina Cole, talk to me.
Hi, I'm here, Reverend Pinckney.
Hey, how you doing, young lady?
Just hanging in there, just continuing to fight. But I just want to say, remember I talked to you earlier prior to your Blog Talk Radio about Facebook has targeted me once again and saying I violated community standards. Now, what does that mean? It includes, to them, they said hate speech. I'm like, seriously? So we've got Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that and above, and over 2,000 white supremacists have connected together. If it wasn't for social media, they would not have such a large platform in America today. Because Facebook, they have these events, these right-wing extremists, boogaloos, every name, negative name you can think of dealing with hate and bigotry connect together. So that's why we have so many of these groups and going around with their guns at the state capitals across the country because they connect as one. They've always been here before Trump. They've been under a rock, but Trump gave them a platform to speak out and speak clear. And because Trump is delusional, psychotic, racist, demagogue, xenophobic, we can go on and on. This guy does not care about nobody but him. He's delusional and should not have the power to make any decisions at this time. So what's happening is we've got a nation that's divided. And when you're divided, somebody's going to conquer it and make it worse. And we're being targeted, people of color, particularly black people, indigenous people, protesters out here, strength that comes in numbers across the country, a cry for justice for so many of us who have been targeted by the police. Seriously wounded and murdered. George Floyd, enough was enough. So my point is, they're being targeted. Journalists are being targeted who are there at the protesters. They Jacob Blake, he was shot in the back, in Kenosha, and he's paralyzed today. Okay, you know, so, I mean, you shoot somebody in the back. When you shoot somebody in the back, to me, it's attempted murder. The
that
thing
is
about police saying they fear for their lives. How do you fear for the life when somebody got their back towards you? So they make all kind of excuses. Then you got this Kyle Rittenhouse in Kenosha after that situation has happened about Blake, the young black male that got shot by the police 7 times. Then you got this psychotic Trump lover, Kyle Rittenhouse, 17 years old, at a rally, you know, anti-racist rally. We're not talking about folks like these white extremist groups. But anyway, he came and claimed it. You know, 2 people got killed and 1 got injured. Trump gets involved with that. He did not denounce this guy for killing folks. What he said was that they were after him. He had to protect himself. Okay, excuse me. This guy's got the AR-15 or whatever you want to call it, assault weapon. He came there to kill. So Trump, his negative threatening rhetoric with these crazy white folks is out here all over the country, and he's saying things that get them all geeked up. Folks, a lot of them are criminals and got criminal records. Some of them been in the Marines and been trained to kill. They, you know, they all up mixed together, come together to kill folks because Trump said it. And when Trump speaks, it resonates in their mind to go out there and do bodily harm to many. We are under attack and being threatened by these white supremacists. And I, myself, and others as well are very concerned about going out to the stores and everything else because they can just target you because you're wearing a mask. They
mm-hmm.
don't want folks to wear a mask. We're talking about white supremacy. They feel that they're superior over us. So I'm not going back way in history. You know what time it is with that. But there's so much going on. And then they're killing Muslim families and all that people don't really want to talk about. That was a reason where folks with white masks on and had killed the whole family, children and the parents. So, you know, here these cases have been going on for years, even 2015 when Trump was, you know, preparing himself to run for president. So my point is he's still in office and he is not saying one single word about the escalation of violence with white supremacy. He's saying it's the lefties and all this and making all these kind of excuses for these folks. He supports Rittenhouse. The last I heard that he was going to supply an attorney for this murderer. He's in juvenile. He's not in a freaking adult prison. He knew exactly what he was doing. His mother was at the RNC, the Republican National Convention. All this above, I mean, they're glorifying violence, which is very dangerous. And then you have these, I have to mention this, hundreds of these white supremacists with AR-15s and all the other assault weapons at a government building called the Capitol in the state of Michigan. So police walk with them all proud and all that. So the police collaborate with these murders. They feel the same way because the police is KKK infiltrated. So anytime you got law enforcement supporting these people that all they stand for is murder, then we got a problem. And particularly when you mentioned about the Governor Whitmer and the kidnap plot and all that above, I just want to add real quick that a Michigan sheriff, had defended those men planning and the kidnapping conspiracy, you know, as far as the suspect, the sheriff was supporting that individual when he's still on the job. Real strange, Representative, when you got a governor of a state that cannot be protected and they talking about the federal agents. Really? The federal agents, we already know that they support white supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
Trump had them involved in citing riots. With those protesters. You remember in Portland, there's different places everywhere, and he had them out there with their assault weapons, all that, doing bodily harm to the protesters. We have every right to exercise our First Amendment, but we are being attacked on Facebook. How dare you attack me and threaten to strip me down? What it was truth, and it was big. I told you what I said. It was no big deal. But you got these white supremacists get on social media and say who they gonna go out to kill and blow their head off. All that.
And Facebook don't do nothing. Facebook ain't gonna do nothing to the white supremacists. They ain't gonna do nothing to them.
You can say one
word, and they ready to put you in Facebook jail. You know, and this is what they do.
Yeah.
So because they all work together. But look, you got 2 minutes to say whatever you got to say.
All I know is it comes from the source, the main source. A lot of these killings is driven by Trump's rhetoric. So I just want to add that on and let people know. And I know a lot of people know because of these right-wing reactionaries, because of them, they go by their leader and they will say, oh, I did it because my leader said it. So we just had to keep our eyes open. They're trying to start a civil war. Trump ain't going down easy. People, I'm not advocating any violence, but I say have your eyes and ears open, and you know what you got to do to protect
you. Amen. All right. Thank you so much. And
thank you.
Hey, hang in there. That was my good friend, Marcino Cole. Let's bring in Rozzy Roz from beautiful, sunny California. Rozzy Roz, are you there? Talk to me.
I'm here, and I'm so blessed to be with you today, and everybody, hi. I've had a few surgeries, a few falls, unfortunately, but I missed you all, and I thank you for everybody standing with Reverend Pinckney when he went to prison, and that was so unjust. And he's really a great person. He gives all of us with our different sides. He lets us come on here and tell our stories, and he's an incredible person, so thank you.
Amen. Hey, Rob,
Reverend
tell
Pinckney.
Me, what's going on with you and your case? What's happening?
My case is still going on with Los Angeles Unified School District. Los Angeles Unified School District should be padlocked. They all should go to prison for taking the money and the checks and changing the numbers and moving the money around and putting it in all kinds of things they're not supposed to be buying. And the students' education is awful. And the students, I feel, should be in school. But my case, I asked for a doctor. I've been so sick with my asthma, my lung damage. And they won't do that. They took away the money, a little bit of money they give me where I get help, playing games until I die off. It's delays, denials, and death of injured workers.
Mm.
And it's just absolutely disgusting. I'm certain there's injured workers out there, and you know the story. They do the same thing to you. But this is at LAUSD with all the money and educational institution. And as we know, the curriculum in schools today is absolutely awful. And children should not be in there being exposed to this. And parents, I believe, should stand up, take their kids out, and not send them to this. This is called abuse. And they should not be abused by this at all.
Mm. Hey, Roz, did you ever get you... How is your lawyer treating you in reference to your case? Do you still have the same lawyer, or do you have a different lawyer?
I had a really nice lawyer that took my case to the California Supreme Court, Clint Setterson. They made him a workers' comp judge. That was the end of him. They gave me all these awful lawyers, and I am my own lawyer at this moment. So I need an incredible lawyer to really... come in at the case. They made an offer. I haven't accepted it because I was the last doctor said I could have doctors and help for the rest of my life because of all my physical damage. and they don't do enough. And they're just awful. Just awful. If they can't kill me, they're not happy. I told LAUSD's lawyer that he's a murderer, and he called me a racist.
Mm.
So that's what happened.
So he called you a racist?
Yeah, me of all people, right? I know, it's sickening.
Wow, what that is a brutal attack on you, Rosie Ross. So
I know.
Yeah, so you know, but here's the good news. You have continued to fight the battle, and I am so proud of you. All these years, you have not bent. You have been fighting and fighting and fighting. And here's the good news. I think it's a strong possibility that you can win this thing at the end, because they're already trying to make an offer. So it's obvious if they try to make an offer, that means that you got them more than anything else, even though they got all kind of dirty tricks. But you know what? My thing is this. All you got to do is stay focused, do what you need to do, and make it happen. Ross, listen, I don't have any more time for you, but look, I want you to come on next week. Let people hear the whole story, okay? And if you can tell the whole story.
Okay, I love you all. And okay, God's number one, and everybody pray.
Amen. We got to pray. We got to stay prayed up. And on that note, we have just ran out of time. Next week, same